Ephesians chapter 5. Resuming our study in verse 1, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. You know, God is normal. And he wants us to be normal and to have a normal life. And so he tells us to act like him. You can't have normal if you don't act normal. And so God says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. With Christ in mind, we Christians should be willing to give up what we want for the good of others. God's goodness to us is a good enough reason to be good to him. How are we good to him? Well, one way is by being good to others. Repay God's kindness to you by being kind to others. Verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Cut yourself off from these things, in other words. Don't even get close to being greedy. Don't even get close to sinning sexually. Don't even get close to being impure. If you get too close, you're going to fall in. And even if you don't fall in, these sins can splash and mess up your life and your testimony. It doesn't take much to do a lot of damage. So God says, steer clear. Stay far away. Don't play with it. Verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Doesn't matter if it's conversation, music, or humor. If it stirs up thoughts or attitudes which are contrary to God's word, God's people shouldn't have anything to do with it. Verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And this doesn't mean that anyone who has ever had an impure thought or has ever been greedy at some time is going to hell for sure. However, if one lives in these sins and doesn't repent and then dies in these sins, they're not going to make it, according to the Word of God. One who does that shows evidence that they have turned their back on the Savior. They never belonged to him in the first place. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. In other words, God warns, do not believe those who say, oh, you can live in these sins and you'll still get to heaven, because, after all, you call yourself a Christian. Don't let them deceive you. That's what God is saying. He's saying those are empty words. They are empty because they contradict God's word. They say you're not going to experience God's wrath. Well, God's word says because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. And it doesn't say except for you. Or except for me. Verse 7, therefore, do not associate with them. If you're a Christian, do not support preachers who teach such immoral, unbiblical nonsense. Don't buy into it. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Christians, have a moral light. For Christians, it's not a matter of knowing what's right. It's a matter of doing what we know is right. It's also about not helping those who say you can know what's right and willfully and continually do what's wrong and still be right with God. You don't want to be a part of that. Verse 9. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. If you're walking in the light, if you are walking with God, then you're going to be good and you're going to speak truth. Character is the true test of our walk with God. 10. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Discernment of truth increases as our obedience to God increases. When our walk with the Lord is close, even something that is only slightly off spiritually is going to be noticed by us. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Sin is unfruitful. Sin is fruitless. All the energy and time that goes into sin avails nothing good, but only bad. Sin wastes time and energy, and then results in ruin in the end. Again, verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. If you stand against sin, you are going to be labeled by some as being harsh and judgmental. Nevertheless, God commands us to expose sin, to expose it, and call it what it is. Verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And I don't see a whole lot of embarrassment when certain sins are talked about today. And that's an indictment against our society. The closer we are to God, the more shame and discomfort we will feel when certain sins are even talked about. Verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. To all those who have not yet repented of their sin, God says, wake up. Deal with reality. Quit being comfortable in your sin. Impenitent sinners have no business being comfortable, and that's because the consequences of their sin will not go away by pretending they aren't there. 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. I used to walk on the railroad tracks behind my house when I was a little boy. And I learned that to balance on those tracks, I had to concentrate. I had to focus on my next step. I had to be careful. Couldn't look around. And that is the effort that Christians need to put forth in living for Jesus. It takes willpower. It takes effort. It takes concentration to live for Christ. Verse 16. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Every second of life that God gives us is an opportunity to avoid sin and do what is right in His eyes. We all have some measure of time, energy, and resources, and we should use them with eternity in mind. We should use them with Judgment Day in mind and spreading the Word of God in mind. 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It is foolish to not understand the will of God. It is foolish to not seek the will of God. It's impossible to please God unless we take the time to listen to Him and learn what pleases Him. Those who don't take the time to learn Scripture are going to have a rough time on Judgment Day. And when I say learn Scripture, I mean God's book should be read and thought about at least some every single day. Our life changes, our circumstances change, and we need regular insight from God, input from God, to know how to live in the midst of it all. Verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Stop there for a second. There's nothing sinful about having a beer or having a glass of wine. There really isn't. You really have to stretch the Scripture. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying what the Bible teaches. And anybody who says anything different is adding to the Word of God. But drunkenness is a completely different story. Getting drunk is a sin all by itself. And the problem is it leads to other sins. Drunks lose their restraint. And they throw aside any morals that they might otherwise have. Talk about asking for trouble and begging for sin. That is what getting drunk is. And if you're going to willfully do something that lessens your moral restraints, then all I can say is, whatever trouble you get is trouble that you deserve. Verse 18 again, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be drunk to be happy. You don't have to be drunk to forget your problems. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God is controlling our thinking, and that means joy and peace and a holy confidence that nothing in this world can top and nothing in this world can take away. Verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Let the Word of God permeate your conversation. God's Word should season all of our conversations, and it will if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never take any good thing you have for granted. Thankfulness should be a habit for Christians. Christians understand better than anyone that they are unworthy sinners. Therefore, Christians who are blessed above all others, especially spiritually, should be most thankful. We should be the most thankful people in the world. 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Don't demand your own way. Don't make fulfilling your desires the most important thing. Do what is best for others, and do it out of respect for Jesus. Do it because that is what Jesus wants you to do. We'll stop there for today. Next time, we'll finish the book of Ephesians. Thanks for spending this time with me.